And it's Tuesday morning. It's 10 a.m. Mountain Time, and that means it's time for you know what. It's time for another Tom and Shane podcast and video, whatever you want to call it. We don't care. You know, just be here. Come and see us. Hey, don't forget to subscribe, ring the notification bell, like us, and leave a comment because YouTube loves that kind of stuff, and they move us up in the search if you do that kind of stuff because YouTube says, wow, these guys are cool. We better move them up. So they will. And if you'd like to support us monetarily, we would love that. There's lots of advantages for doing that. There's a description below in both Facebook and YouTube to support us. So we'd appreciate if you would do that. And if you like to make videos like this, of course, we use StreamYard. And you can see how easy it is to do it because, well, Shane and I can do it. So how hard can it be? I mean, come on. All right. Today we're going to talk about global starvation. Is it real or another misnomer? Will global starvation worsen or is it even such a thing, Shane?
No, it's not actually. And this is, you know, this came about because of the whole conversation in the last 3 weeks on across the board globally about fertilizer and, an issue of mass starvation and that the globe can't feed. So you dive into these numbers and they're astronomical. I mean, when you look at these numbers, it makes your head spin because why on earth would these people want to lie about something as basic as food? Fertilizer, of course, is something new of the 19th century. It's basically a composition of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, all of which are minerals that are mixed together. And since their greater use from 1961 to 2019, the use of these fertilizers has increased by 80%. And that has also caused, of course, an increase of over 30% of the of food produced globally. So, that's one of the biggest face shake that I had on this was this problem of fertilizer. It doesn't exist. You look at the price of these minerals, and they're vibrant, they're busy, they sell by the ton. Yeah. And the world's largest producer is China, then India, and then the United States. So it's one of these things I said, you got to look at it and say, wow, this is just unbelievable insofar as how the situation sort of exists with the fertilizer, not a problem.
Yeah. Well, one of the things fertilizer does cause, it runs into groundwater and things like that. And there are some dead zones around the world. All of the East Coast, or almost all of the East Coast, is what is considered a dead zone off the coast as far as fertilizer causing problems there. So, it is an issue, but it is something that is needed for farmers and, all the people that grow things.
Well, yeah, that's true. But, the human being as a species is just, it's a bag of water. Yeah. And, principle to that is minerals and nutrients. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's all the body needs, minerals and nutrients. If you remove the water from the human body, you've got about 8% of nutrients and minerals left. So,
right.
All these minerals, potassium, nitrogen, and as I said, in fertilizer, your body requires. I mean, it requires nutrients to grow it. Calcium is a big one.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, because of the skeletal structure the human body has. So one of the great things about understanding food is realizing that the food that's grown in the ground is so important to the human being, and when they talk about wanting you to eat vegetables and fruits every day, it's to get the minerals and that enrichment, which grows into the food that you consume. But my favorite number, and I just want to throw this out because this is just so incredible. So Of the 7.8 billion people in the world today, we consume, this number, 1.5 billion eggs worldwide a year are consumed by the human race. I mean, that's a lot of chickens laying a lot of eggs every day, so everyone can eat eggs. And so that, to me, there's four or five other numbers I want to throw out today in the 10 or 15 minutes we'll talk about this, but this is the biggest one. I mean, 1.5 billion eggs a year and growing, and and the flock laying it is over 10 billion hens, and a good hen will produce about 3 to 5 eggs a day. So, you're talking, serious egg laying here.
Yeah. And I eat half of them.
I do too. My favorite meal of the day is my, my bacon and eggs.
That's
right. Every day.
The morning staple for sure.
That's it. Of course.
Unless you're a vegetarian or a vegan, I guess, or whatever, we live on animals and plant food. We eat pork and, cattle, hogs and chickens and fish are our staples of protein, and of course the plant foods, all the nutrients we get from those things. So
another disarming reality that I'm glad we're going to have on tape for eternity is that all across the board, whether you're talking about countries, in their food departments like the FDA in the US or the UN, anybody that looks at this will tell you that the average agriculture contributes to about 4% of most countries' GDP. 4%. And, it's sort of important for survival. And it's responsible for, you're going to love this, 14 to 28% of global greenhouse gas emissions. So producing food for humans to eat is the largest contributor to global warming. So all you global warming, believers, you quit eating because, the food you're eating is the largest contributor to global warming.
That's right.
And of course, as Thomas mentioned, that's principally as a matter of poor land management and fertilizers, the nitrogen particularly.
Yeah. I was reading a thing the other night, Shane, on hay bales, straw bales, actually. You can grow things in straw bales. You can put vegetables on top of them, throw some, you got to nitrogen feed them with some chemicals before you start.
Okay. But in
arid areas where, the ground doesn't support good food growth, you can use straw bales, not hay bales, straw bales.
That's right. You can literally take a bale of hay and pull it apart into sections. So, this big.
Sure.
But, about this wide. So you get about 6 to 8 of them. And then you lay them down anywhere on cement, on asphalt, on grass, or on dirt.
Doesn't matter.
And, plant your food in it and water it. And the two things that are great, not only does it allow for greater root growth, mm-hmm. because it's loose, but the other thing is that the straw retains the moisture.
Yeah.
So you won't use as much water, and it's sort of important because the most popular foods are in the world are wheat, of course. It represents over 18.5% of human calorie intake, and then rice. I was surprised to find that out, that wheat is greater, but now we. Rice is 18%, corn is 5.3%, and then of course the most favorite meat is pig meat because they're so easy to grow and produce. The gestation period's shorter, the litters are bigger,
reproduce quicker,
within 9 weeks. And then of course potatoes, poultry meat, and then cattle meat, and shepherd or sheep.
Mm-hmm.
So, those are the most popular foods in the world, which is one of the things, again, that I found just fantastic, man. Fish is also very important. China's the largest consumer of fish. Over 2 million metric tons a year they consume. Myanmar, we're down in Southeast Asia, used to be Burma, now it's Myanmar, 1.5 million tons. Vietnam's big at 1.2 million. And then the Japanese consume about 700,000. So, you know, there's a big issue about the U.S., but the U.S. does not consume that much fish. It's rather an interesting aspect of all of what we're going to talk about here quickly.
Yeah, well, chicken of the sea is my staple on
With celery, you know.
Yeah, right.
On you know, toast with lettuce and cheese. Oh, my God.
There we go. Well, we're wondering what the future holds here because the planet is increasing, whether it is in the United States or not. We've talked about that before, population.
That's correct.
You know, whatever. But obviously, the world population is increasing. More food is going to be needed for all these people. And, you know, somehow these countries are going to have to get together and come up with some kind of a plan to feed everybody because the United States feeds most of the world or a good portion of the world right now.
Yep. Canada, the U.S. Feed about 35% of the world plus ourselves, which is, you know, that's 400 million people alone ourselves.
Yeah.
And then 30% of the rest of the world is about 2.5, 2.4 million people. One of the big ones is, of course, cattle. The Americans love their beef, as we know. And, you know, they go through about a 7-year cycle. With the herd of cattle in North America to, you know, for it to be replaced or replenished. And so in 2014, the herd was around 88.2 million, but it's grown now to 2020 to 94, almost 95 million. And 2021, it'll have decreased by 1% and be around 90. $4 million, and now it's increased again in 2022, but the cost is it's odd. It's not it's not inexpensive, and it's not something the rest of the world shares because of the requirements, you know, to provide for and grow them. It takes a lot. It takes a lot. Sheep, on the other hand, about 540 million. Are slaughtered each year in the world today for sheep. Interestingly enough, you would think countries like Australia, you know, would. Yeah. No, it's China. They have the largest herd of sheep, 146 million. Australia is 101. India, surprisingly, 62 million. And of course, Sudan, where there's starvation, we're told all the time, they have a herd of 46 million. I mean, Greece isn't on there. I mean, I love Greek food with, you know, lamb. You know, their lamb chops are great.
Yeah.
So it's one of these things, again, where you look at it and the numbers are staggering, but, you know, you don't realize how relative it is. The pig herd in the United States, 75.4 million. You know, that was from a year ago in 2021. And as we said, you know, the ascension of the pig is quite popular, except in the Muslim world, because you can't eat, you know, so everywhere else, you know, especially China, the United States, particularly because of bacon.
Yeah.
So, you know, the pig, and there's all kinds of species, you know, there's not just the industrial pig that we're used to and seeing filmed all the time, but there's wild boar that's all over the world in vast numbers. And the other thing about the pig is it's virtually consumable, the entire thing. In the third world, they eat everything, including the feet. I mean, come on. Then they boil it off for soup, so what, you know.
It's pretty good.
The global stock for a pig in China is 310 million. In Europe's big, 143. United States is next at 78 million. Brazil, of course, you wouldn't be surprised, 40 million. Russia, 23. And then down the line, as I was saying. So even Canada, 14 million, you know, pigs in Canada. So the pig is a very industrial little animal. It goes a long way for everybody.
That's for sure.
Farmland becomes an important aspect of everything we're talking about. There are over 2 million farms in the United States now, down 3% since 2012, and 900 million acres they take up, or 40% of all U.S. land. You know, it's rather a staggering reality to think that, you know, 40% of the North American continent, you know, is farmland. But you look at the center of it and all those, you know, the plains and the great flatlands of your country, right down the middle of the continent, from Canada to Mexico, is all open farmland basically. So it provides a lot for not only the United States and the world. So there you go. We you know, as I said, starting with eggs and running through every meat source, fish source, grain source. There's only two things preventing the world from being completely fed. The U.S. has always worked the most on it, and that's just being able to deliver it, right? And of course, we're dealing with that right now, right?
Delivery is always the process of getting it
That's
from
right.
the farm to the shelf or
That's right. Or to
wherever
the
you got to
mouth.
get it to,
Yeah,
or the mouth.
from the ground to the mouth. Yeah, there you go.
That too. All right. Well, hey, we've got to remind you that we're on radio every Saturday, 8 to 11 Mountain Time, KMMSAM.com. Click listen now. No sign up. You have to join. No personal information needed. All you do is just click listen now, and you can listen in to us. And you can call us. You can text us. We're happy to do all of that. And also, our past shows, including this one, will be up on KMMSAM.com. You just click on Tom and Shane's podcast. You'll be taken over to where those are. So both video and audio of our radio and these videos on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. So we're happy to have you along for that. So, all right, that I guess is going to do it for us. So we've Sob world starvation. One more chip in our bedpost that
Well,
we
that's right. You know, if man could just develop the means, which he has. I mean, there's no question with all the shipping, trucking, containers, everything that exists out there. You know, flight by air. U.S. has shown it can be done, and you know, the rest of the world should just want to see it done. So guess what, folks? That meal that you're having tonight, you're gonna have tomorrow night too.
You probably will. Yep. At least for the time being.
At least for the time
So,
being.
all right, boy. Well, I hope we've solved some of this problem. So, but anyway, thanks for watching. We'll see you on our next podcast. Will be this coming Thursday. So we hope that you'll be with us then. Until then, we'll see you down the road.